Someone once told me that no one says life is fair. When you hear that when you're young, you have no idea what it really means. Once you've lived a little, and then you lose everything, suddenly it makes sense. This podcast is a true life memoir of someone who lost everything and is rebuilding in search of who they once were. They're sharing their story as part of their healing process, and so that anyone else out there living through similar circumstance knows that they're not alone. Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Dave the Clone checking in yet again for another installment in the Feeling It, Healing It, A Diary of Recovery podcast. The podcast that is the ongoing saga of somebody recovering their life from the nuclear wasteland ashes of what it once was as a result of, I don't know, at this point it's many things, right? it's initially from an abusive relationship, and then it's from the sort of misguided meanderings of trying to put the pieces back together after that and being in a fog of complete and utter destroyed confusion that allowed for so much. But a lot of things along the lines of, you know, trusting maybe people he shouldn't have trusted or allowing himself to be wronged even further. But initially, it was also the recovery aspect of this was because things had gotten to a point that it was so dark that I think in order to sort of process it, I'm starting to actually picture myself in a little bit of a Bo Burnham kind of the way he did that Netflix special during the pandemic called Inside, where he was like, you know, in fact, actually, you know, to be completely honest, when I first watched that special, I was pretty humbled as somebody who considered themselves like a creative and somebody who, you know, I think if I hadn't been broken during the pandemic, maybe I would have figured out to be inspired to do something along those lines. Maybe not to the level that he is. I wasn't a stand-up comedian who had taken time away from the craft as a result of crippling panic attacks, but I was someone who had at one time been far more confident in his own abilities. And it's weird, you know, actually, I'm recording this on Eclipse Day, and I'm actually sitting here thinking about how during the week between last week's episode and this week's, which last week's episode was obviously another dip, right? It was another valley between the peaks of the sort of clearly bipolar nature of my mind, which I guess at times I feel the need to apologize to you all for, because it's been a long time. We're in like the high 40s. We're almost at the full 1 year anniversary of launching the podcast, which was launched after a couple weeks, you know, multiple weeks of recording and not really even being sure if I was going to be brave enough to share with the world. But I felt like instead of succumbing to the darkness, I wanted to channel the energy into something that could eventually potentially be a positive by being a beacon for other people. And I felt like, you know, this is where some of the aspects of the law of attraction, I guess, the stuff that The Secret talks about, had been sort of present for me, or at least observable, was that I felt like I was coming across a lot of other people, mostly probably because clearly, obviously, I joined these support groups. And so, you know, you're surrounded by, or you're constantly in touch with people who are going through similar things. And I actually think in a lot of ways, maybe not as overtly as I was dealing with things and not being super quiet about it as much as I reserved and was just staying in my room when I was renting that room with the with the friends I had been living with, I think at least one of them was going through something similar. And for all I know, maybe still may still be. I think that there was a certain aspect of being too close to the odd couple type of dynamic that was going on in that house to be able to sort of address it. I also think that the styles of communications between all of us were so different that I don't know that there would have even been an ability to acknowledge the problem. You know, like how you can't force somebody to realize they have an issue. You can address it with them at the risk possibly of the friendship, at least for a little while. You know, most of the time when people are healing, they'll realize, oh, other people had been trying to help me and I was pushing them away. And I think usually in the more 12-step type of recovery, which I still think I maybe need to go, at day 478 of sobriety right now, which I think in some ways when I think about it might mean that sort of arena is off limits to me now. Like, but I don't think that's the sort of spirit of it all. I think there are probably some areas that I really still need a lot of help in. Obviously, anybody who listened to last week's episode or even the few episodes a few weeks before that will attest to. But luckily, now that I have been employed again for just over a month, I think I just today, actually in the mail, got my insurance card, so I can pursue some mental health, which is long overdue, with like real mental health. I don't mean to slam it, because I had to make use of it for a while, especially last year. But the gig economy coverage I was getting from this sort of app-based company called Mira, M-I-R-A, which you can sign up for at Mira.com. They don't sponsor the show. I'm just throwing it out there as a sort of letting people know. Because it is a big deal, you know, if you don't have access to healthcare, which when you start to think about it, these are a lot of things. I think one of the things that has been sort of a huge aspect of all of this journey for me in the last couple of years is how much you take a lot of things for granted until your situation changes. And it sounds kind of cliche. I totally get that. But when you've got it or you've had it for so long and then all of a sudden you go without healthcare and you're kind of like, wow, well, I'm pretty lucky in that, you know, as far as I know, I'm not a diabetic, so it's not like I needed a regular prescription for anything. All the vitamins I take are over the counter. Everything I'm doing is sort of, you know, regimen you're able to. The only time I really felt the pain was when I was sick last year and it was like an ear infection and I needed antibiotics. And even until then, I'd gone since early 2020 without insurance. And, you know, it's funny because at the time that lapsed, when, you know, I did do the full round of last appointments with everybody just to kind of say, all right, I'm going into the dark territory with a clean bill of health, so I know that I'm starting from a good place. But it occurred to me a couple times, like when I would have colds, that like, well, what am I supposed to do? And it's funny because I remember my ex is like, oh, well, you know, I'll just call and I'll say it's me that I'm having the symptoms. I'm like, so yeah, I don't know that that's going to work, because, well, obviously there's a gender issue here. And I know it's a pandemic, but you're still going to have to go in to be seen by somebody. I mean, I'm sure you could do a virtual thing, which I totally didn't, you know, talk about going a little too Star Trek, you know, to the point where it almost made you kind of really realize there's been so many things that make you realize this lately too, but like that they just don't really fucking care. Oh yeah, we're going to do virtual. We'll do doctor's appointments over Zoom. Like, okay, wait a minute. There's a couple ways we could think about this. Like, one, is it possible to really be able to do that? Like, can you really give a diagnosis over a Zoom call? I mean, we can't have one of these things last without a fucking lag or a part where somebody freezes and like half a word gets lost. And on top of that, I think kind of like being able to actually really see with your own eye without the sort of handicaps of, you know, webcam, poor placement, lighting, people not maybe being able to get the camera at the right angle. I mean, what if you have to look at something that's requiring them to do like a headstand in order to get like their butthole in front of the camera? Or maybe people are way more deft at that these days with the rise of the DIY porn industry. But still, I digress. I really don't think I'm going to go into that tirade today like I usually do. But all this to say, you get really humbled when it finally comes to pass where you're kind of like, oh, undeniable that there are some things that would have been beneficial to have access to that I took for granted that I had access to for so long. And of all the things, I'm trying to focus on the things that I'm grateful for and trying to practice gratitude and in hopes of that being sort of the key to shifting my mindset. My mindset has shifted quite a bit. In fact, you know, having this new employment situation is something to be very, you know, gracious for, have lots of gratitude for, and the potential there for it to continue to expand. You know, already the workload is starting to build up and I'm at the point where I've been trying to sort of manage it to keep it within the part-time window that they hired me for. But I think there's a certain level of it being not so realistic that I'm going to be able to continue that just because of how much there is to do. But all this to say that you, being, I know that there are people who go through this in a much more difficult situation than I have. In fact, I think I actually lost a friend in the last year, not to them passing away, but I think it's hard to not fall over the edge into that perpetual victimhood mentality or vision of yourself when you're, you know, there's the difference between venting yet also trying, and venting and also and then falling into that. That's just what you do. You just vent all the time and you're not actually trying to make any of the strides to fix. And I had this friend who is sort of like maybe actually more of like a friends with benefits kind of person in my life. And when I was talking about some of the things I was going through, she kind of gave me this like, look, I don't have parents to fall back on. I don't have family. I don't have anybody to help me. And you might need to just shut up and go do whatever it is you have to do, get a job you don't like or whatever, just so that you can get access to healthcare because you are really depressed and you really need help. And that conversation didn't really, I mean, it ended and I kind of didn't expect that that was going to be the last conversation we had. And I think we're almost at the 1 year anniversary of that conversation. And it really, it felt judgy. I was really angered by the things she was saying because it kind of felt like it was coming from a place of jealousy. And then I had to step back and think, well, you know, she has a point. You know, I think anybody in my situation who's really had to rely on themselves a lot more than maybe I've had to in my life would have already been waiting tables at multiple places and really pulling in the dough they needed to pull in to make things work, to make it work. In fact, actually, had to pull my financials together as we're clearly in tax season now. And I was actually surprised when I added everything up how the number, the total for what I pulled in was bigger than I was expecting it to be. And I think I remember a time where I was making less than that. And at that time, I maybe was living in my first apartment. Again, it was a roommate situation I've never had except for a 2.5 year period after I called off my engagement where I was just living by myself in the apartment that she and I had moved in together, my former fiance and I. And even though my monthly living expenses jumped by $800 a month, I was able to afford it. But I was in such a situation that I had enough credit card debt and was making enough that I was able to pay the bills, put money towards the debt, and pay the rent, and have a little wiggle room left to keep smoking weed and maybe go to the movies once a month. But I could easily see that there was really going to be no way for me to get out from under the debt if I continued in that situation. There are a lot of times I'll be thinking about all of this. And I know this is sort of an unhealthy part and one of the things I would hope to have given up or gotten over doing by now, because it's not like I can travel back in time to go do anything that I'm about to say. But I really do wish that I had stayed in that situation, that I'd held on to that apartment, because I felt a little bit more like a grown up at that time. I felt more like, you know, even though I was still, I mean, I suffered through a pretty serious depression after that, breaking off that engagement, but having the place, again, like the healthcare, when you don't realize the impact of not having it once you did have it, and not having really been able to get that again. I mean, who knows? I mean, obviously now with the way the economy has changed after the pandemic, I probably wouldn't have been able to afford it now. But yeah, I feel like my outlook, the way I would carry myself even now would be so different. And, I can't tell, like, it goes back and forth between the sort of thinking about things and saying, this is happening, like the moth in the cocoon, this is happening for me to finally be able to realize my own resilience and being able to kind of push through all of this. And then at the same time, I have yet to stop really beating myself up for letting it happen. I keep having this moment, the block that keeps coming up is the whole, how could you have been so short-sighted to have allowed this to happen? And I wonder, like, why I feel that way. I was having a pretty intense and interesting conversation with my mom the other day, because I guess that's what you do when you live with your parents again, is you talk about things. And I think in the past, for some reason, maybe because I hadn't been through the things I'd been through to get here, I think it was easier for there to be more of a, okay, dude, when are you going to get out of here? You know, hey, we're renovating the house, you got to move out. Hey, listen, this is what's going on. To now it's more like, you know, we care about you and whatever you need, you know, you'll never be homeless. But I have the morbid thoughts of, like, you know, I'm realizing everybody's age. I'm realizing there's, like, for some reason, it's as if it's like chasing me and it's got its hand almost on my shoulder. This sort of idea of the mortality is going to catch up. And I often have this morbid thought of, like, what if I was more like the friend I don't speak to anymore? What if I didn't have my parents? What if I didn't even have my sisters? What if I had nobody? What would I be? Would I be living on the street right now? Is that what I've become? And that's the thought that kind of gets out of control. That's the thought that almost has a life of its own. This is what they call an intrusive thought, right? I mean, this is a real paralyzing, judgmental view of myself. That then permeates, that then sort of cripples and almost becomes a bit of this like self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's funny because that's a big aspect of The Secret, is what you focus on attracts more. So like if the magnet is turned to, like, and it's funny because this is in my case, it says like if you're always thinking about how you need money or you don't have enough money, and all you're going to keep attracting is not having enough money. It's almost like you have to like really trick your subconscious mind into thinking you've already got whatever it is you're looking for. And that's supposed to be what brings it in, right? But it's hard when you're kind of overwhelmed, you know, and we're all the things around you are reminding you, you know, like getting the email from the accountant and getting notes in the letter from the IRS and getting your updates from LegalZoom saying, hey, this is due and hey, you got to take care of this, and constantly thinking, you know, it's, for me, it's more like, oh my God, I have so many pieces to move on the board like right now. And if I don't do them soon enough, I'm never going to be able to get around this without getting four or five jobs. And just then that thought becomes like, I can't breathe. I can feel like my the life being smothered out of me by how much mud gets dumped. And this is where you start to really kind of feel this whole under attack by the enemy thing. You know, the negative energy is getting a hold of you. You call it what you will, depending on what you believe. Being more of a churchgoer these days, there is definitely that feeling of this is how he does it. This is how the devil gets you. This, he gets in your mind first. He turns you against yourself. He twists you. And all this because, you know, looking at the number, looking at how much I've pulled together, it's like that wouldn't have been a horrible salary for the year 8 years ago. You know what I mean? Like half the time ago, the 4 years before the pandemic and maybe 4 years back into my career. Now it's nowhere near enough to be able to afford to live alone, though. You know, like I still would need to go and get roommates. And I'm still, you know, so I'm looking at places now and trying to find either another room to rent in a house. Sort of almost like going into the same type of situation I was in before, but this would be with complete strangers. I don't know why, for some reason, I feel like it might as well have been that last time, because you really, you know, sometimes you don't realize how little you know people. And I think this time going into the search for something like this, I'm a little bit more armed with the education of what to look for and what not to, but it still is very astounding that I need to still make some major changes, or I need to get really, really lucky and finally get like a job that is worth what I'm worth and will be able to give me enough to be able to, because even getting an apartment is starting to feel like it's something so out of reach. And it's tough when you're feeling like this, and then you see the things either in the news or on social media. Like, I know social media, it has dawned on me how much the internet is such a double-edged sword. It's almost like a playground with razor blades as the base. You know, the world is so different because we all are comparing ourselves to each other constantly, but it's also this bombardment with news that really makes it feel like, dude, the world's about to end. If you haven't built a bunker and armed up by now, you are just going to be running around. Like, it's going to be like Fallout, man. You're going to be one of these mutants up there that's kind of living off the scraps. You better be collecting those bottle caps. And it's hard when that feels like it's imminent and outside of your control, to be going, all right, well, you know, it's going to happen. The momentum's there. You're moving in the right direction. I've been taking more webinars. I've been trying to figure out how to launch one of these businesses online. And I know I've been talking about that for a while. It's almost like it gets to a point where, like, all right, I'm learning as much as I can. I'm reading a lot. I'm attending webinars, but I'm still like kind of very trigger shy about, you know, spending the little bit of money that you need to spend in order to do any of these things. Even looking at like the number, what I've earned and what I've got to write off, still what I'm probably going to owe is like a punch in the gut, like, whoa, what? Yeah. I'm still paying off last year's, and now this is going to be on top. Now, I mean, granted, if it's even in the realm that my limited math abilities were showing me, I can pay it, which is great. I'm probably still going to do an extension to give myself a couple more months to earn to be able to pay it. But I'll still be paying off last year's after I pay this, which is interesting how that happens. It's almost like another credit card, except this creditor can come get you. You know what I mean? Your credit cards can eventually charge off your stuff and send it to a collection agency if you decide to stop paying it. But and the government, that's some scary shit. That said, you know, there's ways to deal with it. There's agencies out there to help you. And so it's being able to think it through like that, like right there, what just happened, being able to say, oh, yeah, that's terrible. They're going to be the stormtroopers at the door. And it's like, well, no, you can call this company and you can have. I mean, I have a buddy from college who is like multiple times more in debt than I am. And the dude's got a house. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those things where you're like, how? Well, it's because he didn't have any huge gaps in his income because he still works. And he's even given me a little bit of that, like, okay, dude, come on, get your shit together already. And it's weird, man. I mean, like, there's so much of this having to be able to accept that your journey is your journey. And even though people mean well and people can help you, sometimes the tough love doesn't get received as concern as much as it feels like more like judgment. Or, you know, for me, the thing is, I keep thinking, what is wrong with me? Why is it that for other people, it seems like it would be so easy for them to do what you need to do, whatever that is? You know, like there are those people that could go out and get like a job somewhere, like without even trying. Whereas I've been like the interviews I've gone on, I'm hanging out in Delaware right now, but I still have most of my history is living in New Jersey, and there was a job in New Jersey that would have been maybe a six-figure job. That would have been like coming at the highest end of the range that they were offering. And I got up at like 4 a.m. and drove 3.5 hours to go to this interview. And for the most part, it felt like it was good, but I still gave myself 50-50 chances leaving there because there was enough that I was kind of a little iffy on. And it just feels like that one feels like still like the epitome. I almost wonder if my sort of fear factor played any role energy wise in pushing that away. I've probably said this a bunch of times on this podcast. I wonder if anyone out there is counting. All right, here's another episode where Dave says the same shit again. It'd be nice if y'all out there, the dozen or so of you that actually listen to this show, would write in and say, yeah, dude, you've said this in 5 episodes. We're getting sick of it. Whatever the hell's going on. You should just call this the Dave is Mentally Ill podcast. I don't know. I'm trying to be vulnerable. I'm not even trying. I am vulnerable. But the book I'm reading right now, Daring Greatly by Brené Brown, is all about vulnerability. She's got a really interesting TED Talk about the subject. And so in some ways, this podcast is very much an exercise in that as well. But all of it is in the effort of, you know, the way that hearing my friend being in debt helps me feel a little bit better about my situation. I think from how heavy the heaviness is, from how dark the darkness gets, from how paralyzingly hard this can feel, if any of the things I'm going through inspire anybody else to kind of feel like, well, man, I know what some of that's like, and I don't think I would be able to talk about it that way, but maybe if I try to show the other folks around me who are trying to be helpful but are hurting me or whatever, I can show them an episode of this. And they might start to understand, oh, that's what you're going through? What this fucking guy is just constantly rambling about into his recorder, breathing all over the place and repeating himself? Because it's what it is. This is so much of the danger zone, so much of the quicksand is the feedback loops. like even just the fact that my mind is finding all the negative to hold on to and feeling like, how could you possibly envision or visualize the positive when every time, that's the big thing too, you know, between last week and this week, I was really worried. And I'm wondering ultimately why I mentioned the eclipse at the beginning is because when I woke up this morning, it was very heavy. I was like, oh God, mostly because I had to finish getting the financials together to send over to my accountant. And I still am working on this audiobook, and I basically have so much of it, so many revision notes from the author of it. I've kind of become almost a little paralyzed, like, hey, do I actually know how to do this? Am I actually talented enough to get this done? Is this ever going to end? Because I'm not really going to have the time to dedicate to it that it's actually about to require for me to finish it. So now in my mind, there's this pressure of like, well, just get it done, dude. And you've had time last week that you could have dedicated to it that you didn't, because instead I felt like I would more rather put in hours towards the job that's going to pay me every 2 weeks. You know, this is like, I'm not getting any money for this project until I finish it, like until it's done, which already it's gone 2.5 months, you know. So let's say that this was what I strictly did for a living, was the voiceover stuff. That would be like dire straits. It would almost be like I should have left the project. that's where I think now is like, I should have. Is it too late to get out of this? Maybe I don't like this as much as I thought I would, because the last book I did was like, I got no pushback. The author loved what I was doing. This one, I keep kind of bouncing back and forth between thinking, what a fucking prick this guy is. You know, like I did my read based on what I did in the audition that he said he liked. And I did that. And right away, it's like, okay, you need to change the way you say this. And the tone's all wrong. And I'm like, tone's all wrong? Are you fucking kidding me? This is what I did in the audition that you said you liked. I even found a fucking AI platform to change my voice to a woman's voice for the female parts. Which, to his credit, there is one criticism he wrote back, some feedback he got that he's like, this needs to be more emotional, it's too flat. And I was a little kind of like, okay, the AI didn't really translate my intonation so well on this batch, and I'll have to figure that out. This will just be like the sort of, I guess, dry run. It really is sort of like the whole thing was a first draft voiceover. But again, it's like at the time I started this, I had a little bit more time on my hands. Now that I've got a new structure to my day to day, it's a little iffy. And so in any case, that was all the bully that was waiting for me when I woke up. And I even woke up, you know, an hour before my alarm was supposed to go off, and I had to pee. And I was kind of like, fuck, you know, every time this happens, I get up, I pee, and then I really don't fully get back to sleep. I do that whole thing where I'm kind of tossing and turning. It's like I'm comfortable in one position for a few minutes, and then right as I'm starting to fall asleep, it's like, no, I gotta move. And the whole time I'm thinking, well, I probably still have like another 40 minutes left, maybe I can fully get into some REM before that. And man, I've been having some vivid ass dreams that I can't remember, but I know like when I woke up to pee, I could still remember. And it was like, oh man, what's going on? The anxiety is really, you know, manifesting itself when I'm trying to rest. And at the same time, the wellness coach that I'm working with has really been harping on how important it is to get at least 7 hours of sleep each night. And so I've kind of changed my schedule with the sort of daily walks. Like I don't get up to make sure I walk with the group. I just sleep in a little bit and then go off the walk once I get up. So I've been walking alone, which in some ways I kind of feel like I needed to do. I did notice that I was, again, where, you know, people who mean well or people who may not even realize that some of the conversation that you're around but can't participate in is weighing on you. There was too much going on where I'm hearing these, you know, these people who are much older than me who didn't have these huge breaks in their income, or for all I know, maybe they did. I've just never asked them, but they at least reached the age they're at now with enough in place to where they can afford the homes in the area that they're living in. They can, you know, get a new car when they need one without too much pain or hoop jumping necessary to do it. Whereas everything about me, it feels like, dude, you so fucked up that ability to do that. And if you really like that, and that's when the sort of feeling of the clock being against me, it's like, dude, like, I mean, the window's closing, bro. If you can't figure this out, like, seriously, within the next year or two at the max, you will have crossed that point of no return where, like, that's it, man. This is it. You're going to wind up basically becoming a fucking hermit. You're going to be an Obi-Wan who doesn't have the Force. That's shit. That's like a shit place to wind up. You know, that whole sort of envisioning yourself as like the old man with the stories of how the world used to be, talking about it at the trash can fire and the Terminator post-apocalypse. Yeah. Nice to think about, interesting to maybe use as the basis for something to write. Probably not going to be as fucking fun as it looks to actually live it. And that's where somehow all that was coming from, these very nice people that I'm walking with every day who are all talking about, like, oh, you know, car's got an oil leak and I got to take it in. I'm tired of this car anyway. It's time to get something new. And I don't know, the siding on the house, I'm thinking about changing it, and I'm just going, I am never going to have a fucking house. You know what I mean? And it's funny because there was one of them who whenever politics comes up, he, you know, starts to talk about, like, well, things are actually not bad. The economy isn't as bad as everyone's saying it is. And I go, yeah, dude, you're talking to somebody who's been trying to find a job for almost 2 years. And when I say trying to find a job, saying it knowing that I probably could go and get a job waiting tables no problem at any of the many restaurants around here, because that's all there fucking is around here, but who would be not using any of the skills I spent the last two decades honing, being awarded for the work I was doing with. It would be sort of one of those, if this is where I was going to wind up, why did I bother doing any of that? And there's a certain amount of, even the friend who's in crazy debt, will say to me, like, yeah, no, dude, don't go do that. Fuck that. Like, you know, it's like, well, why don't you just go work at like a convenience store? You know, it's like, you definitely, what you do, what you know how to do, you should not be doing that. And I go, well, when does the point of desperation become so obvious that you have to do that? You know, like, there is no this. It's like, are you being too prideful? Are you getting in your own way in that way? Yeah, wow. Long. And yet here I am sitting watching TV, talking into a recorder, doing a podcast that I don't make any money off of. It's hard to know how to feel all the time. But in any case, the heaviness was definitely there. The same heaviness that's been way more intense in the last 2 or 3 weeks than it had been prior. I think crossing that 1 year, like, it's officially been now the full year of no contact, the first full year of no contact. And in some way that may have even triggered some of that sort of morbid, I almost kind of wanted to keep in contact, even though a lot of this show started in the vein of, well, you got to cut off contact with the toxicity that you're trying to get past. And I was actually in going through old emails and stuff to find receipts and pulling things together for the tax man. I was looking at text messages between my sister and I, and because I remember talking to her about some work that I was having done on my car at some point over the summer, and she was like, you know, I worry about you because it's not healthy for your ex to still even be on your mind at all at this point, like with how it's been over a couple of years and you guys weren't good together. It got really bad. She even said stuff like, she sucked. You know what I mean? Like, you really need to fucking forget or let it go, because you're keep going into your own head so much that it's like you're working against yourself. And she even said, now, and my sister, both of my sisters are very successful and have like great lives that I feel like I'm never going to be able to have myself again, unless something miraculous happens. And I am looking at, I still have this project in mind, this kind of plan that I know at the year's end or at the turn of the year, I was kind of really poised and ready to throw some money down and get this thing started. But I am looking at another potential course I'm going to take for learning to do one of these sort of online business things that I kind of have been following this person on social media for a while, and she seems like a really a good mentor type. And I'm hoping that, like, if that works, you know, I've been in touch with her a little bit talking about the process. And she was very much in the same situation I am, not pulling your life together from the nuclear ashes, but, you know, went from being a housewife who was homeschooling the kids, who just wanted to make a little extra money on the side to be able to help with some bills, to now is like making, you know, five figures a month, and has made more in the last year than she had made in most of her life before that. And so it's like, all right, if you could teach me how to do that. And I, at the same time, I'm finding out that I had tools at my disposal I didn't know about, like having Adobe Firefly as part of the Adobe suite that I pay for, which is generative AI, you know, it can do text to picture. Just that alone is huge. I mean, the sort of digital products you can make with stuff like that. And I've also been really feeling, and I've been talking about it for a while, but ideas are really start, like I'm having conversations with myself on these walks where it's like, okay, this is all a scene from something that I need to be writing immediately. And so I think that's another reason why this whole sort of, it is a resentment feeling about the audiobook. I'm kind of like, God, fuck, why can't I just have this off my plate so that I could work on something of mine so that I could write a book, you know, instead of recording this assholes that I am not loving bringing to life anymore, because I actually thought I had a really good take on the character and he's kind of like, oh, tone's all wrong. And I'm like, fuck you, I did exactly what you said you liked. But right there, all right, I'm complaining about an opportunity that somebody else would probably kill for right now, and would have probably killed it on the first take because they know how important it is to make the money that this could have brought in. If this was something that I would have been able to have focused more and did a better performance on the first take, then it would have been a bunch of money for something that wasn't that hard. But it's because, you know, but at the same time, in the starting to try to reframe, right, how you look at things and turn everything into a learning experience, not everything is going to be easy. And then it's always that whole, like, nothing good comes easy. Everything that is worth doing requires work. And it's really that I still am not comfortable in the uncomfortability, you know, like I think, the same way a lot of us are still waiting for the world to go back to the way it was before the pandemic exposed it for the flawed and painful to deal with place it has become. I keep feeling like, what is it going to take to really feel like I'm doing better? You know, I was just talking to another friend today and he goes, I hear what you're saying about how hard it is, and I know it's probably still really scary, but you're making a lot of progress, man. Look at how far you've come from how, from just try to think about where you were when you started this part of the journey a couple of years ago. Like, yes, fine, you're living with family, but like, you've got family, man. You know what I mean? Like, why does it even bother you that other people don't, when you're not on their journey and they're not on yours? You're on your journey. Your journey includes having family who's there to support you. Like, that's a gift. And again, that's why I put in my daily gratitude journal a loving and supportive family, and thank you for my parents who took me in when I needed a place to live. And, you know, it's just, it's, sometimes all you gotta do is laugh, right? Sometimes that's the best thing to do. But in any case, the heaviness was there. And then all of a sudden I realized in the middle of the day, like, oh, hey, isn't the eclipse coverage happening? And I put it on Hulu and watched a little bit of that. And I even did the dumb thing. I went out and tried to kind of look at the sun for a quick half a second, and I could see between the moments where it was burning my retina, I could see a little bit of it was covered. I was like, oh, that is pretty interesting. And that it was, that it wasn't as bright. We are where I'm at, we were not in the total, what do they call it? Totality. Oh, the totality is happening. And then I was thinking to myself too, like, aren't they were turning back, they were turning CERN back on today. I really was like, you know, I recently watched this, new series on Netflix, that Three Body Problem, and that has some elements having to do with the Large Hadron Collider. In fact, the first episode starts with people working at the one at Oxford, and I was very much like, ah, you know, all the conspiracy people that I listen to, because I believe a lot of them, we're talking about how, like, wow, so this eclipse, which is following, there's going to be an X spot of where this eclipse crosses an exact point where the last eclipse hit in the middle of the country, and CERN's going to be turned back on at the same time, and, like, who knows what's going to happen. I keep going, well, when will one of these things actually do what everybody's talking? Oh, they're going to open the abyss, and the dragons are going to appear, and all. Okay, guys, I would so stop worrying about all the shit I worry about if some seriously biblical or supernatural or extra dimensional shit would finally fucking happen. Like, okay, is the giant machine we built in Switzerland going to open the portal? Is the abyss going to appear? Are all the really people who've been really religious all this time going to be proven right? Or is tomorrow going to come and I still have bills to fucking pay? You know, like, I kind of feel like, when are the aliens getting here so that we can all stop worrying about credit card debt? You know what I mean? Like, when are we going to go into interstellar war? Because it would be great to not have to think about taxes anymore. And instead of any of this shit happening, we still have to fucking wake up and deal with this. And all of this is to say that once the eclipse was happening, a lot of people in the weeks leading up to this were talking about Mercury being in retrograde, and that the eclipse is a time when a lot of energy shifts. And I actually did notice that sort of once the afternoon started to get on and I was getting closer and closer to finishing pulling my financials together, I also got like a good 5.5 hours put towards the job today, where it's like I need to put in 4, and now I got an extra hour and a half. And if I could do that all week, awesome. I have enough work that is actually warranting it. And I noticed that I'm like, wow, the heaviness is sort of gone. It's like, mentally, I know it's still there, but I was physically feeling it. Like, it's like a weight, like you're carrying a weight on your back, like a backpack full of lead. And I'm going, oh, you know, everybody said there was going to be like energy shifting around. So I'm wondering hopefully this is still feeling this way tomorrow morning. Hopefully I wake up feeling a little bit different. But I was wondering, like, and I was actually giving myself this sort of scapegoat of like, oh, you know, so Mercury's been in retrograde. Maybe that's why I've been thinking about my ex. Maybe that's why I've been sad about stuff. Maybe that's why life has been so hard lately, because I felt like it was getting better. I felt like the momentum was going in the right direction. And now all this crap is popping up. And I mean, I think even people not going through the situation I'm going through, that has a tendency to happen. Like, oh, everything is great. And then you get that phone call from the creditor, or you get that, you know, phone call from that family member who always likes to argue, or you get that letter in the mail about something that you forgot about, you know, all the, and again, it's back to the energies. It's back to the enemy on the assault. It's back to the, you know, trying to stay positive even when that happens. But for me, like, it sort of felt like it had gotten a new grip, and it had started to really kind of pull me more into the quicksand than it had been before. And I was kind of like, man, when is that going to stop happening? And then I was like, and it really does feel like it's stronger than it was 2 weeks ago, or it's stronger than it was a month ago. What the hell's going on? And then when I started hearing all this, oh, dude, it's energies, it's Mercury in retrograde, it's like the energies of the universe are shifting, and sometimes that affects people, especially if they're in the midst of transitioning and all that stuff. And so I was kind of like, oh, okay. And it was supposed to all sort of lead up to today, and all of a sudden today it did kind of feel noticeably like, as much as I'm talking about it right now to all y'all, it did feel noticeably different. And I started to think, ah, you know, maybe there is hope. And again, for as much as I was saying, when is all this shit going to happen? It's like, all right, well, there haven't been any reports of dragons. The earth hasn't fallen out of its axis. We're not hurtling towards the sun. The eclipse came and went. CERN got turned on. As far as we know, basically everything stayed the same. No new Mandelas have been noticed or anything like that. So, I don't know. Maybe that's a sign that things are kind of on the verge. I mean, so many of these sort of affirmational or motivational channels that I follow are always like, every day they're saying it. So it starts to kind of feel a little cheap and meaningless. But they're like, you are so close, man. If you're feeling like it's like, you know, even a question, it's always that it's still darkest before the dawn, man. And even if it feels like it's getting harder, that just means the dawn is right around the corner. You just got to hold on for a little bit longer. And, you know, I have to look at the fact that this time, you know, that even just 3 months ago, I didn't have the part-time job, and I was sort of like feeling like I'm never going to get anything. And at least I got that. And then that has the potential to increase and bring in new clients, because they are sort of an agency. And so that could have been the beginning of the new, you know, the sort of, you know, getting that was the key to everything being different. And by this time next year, I'll be like, man, can you believe that on eclipse day, I was still freaking out? And, you know, it's the sort of not expecting it, but not beginning to let yourself believe that it's never going to happen. It's kind of just floating in that flow. And that's what I don't do well. And maybe a lot of this turmoil has all been to get me to learn how to do that, so that I can get one of these digital businesses off the ground and become one of these people you see who's like, oh man, life was shit, and now I've got millions because I've learned how to sell these t-shirts, you know, whatever the hell, whatever I'm going to wind up doing. And it's all about finding the faith in yourself and yada, yada, blah, blah, whatever. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the accountant says. We'll see how to deal with this. But in any case, I'm feeling, I as much as this has been all over the fucking map, this recording, if I had done this 2 days ago, it would have been very different. If I had done this 4 days ago, it would have been very different. I am sort of feeling a little more optimistic about waking up tomorrow, whereas it had been going in the direction of, man, even by the time of night, you know, I'm going to sleep, it's more like I'm just so tired from being emotionally exhausted throughout the day. It's not like I'm going to sleep with hope. And it's almost like going to sleep with a little bit of that sort of, I know tomorrow I'm going to wake up and the first thing I'm going to think of is every negative thing. I am really in the mood of like, can I just finally get this book off my plate? And now that the financials are done, I can focus the extra time after doing the part-time job work on getting the book done. So I could follow through on my plan to have that done this week. And then once that's off the fucking plate, then it's time to start putting the rest of my shit into action. Start writing up some scenes. I've actually been digging through emails and reading sort of the last few, things that I wrote, scripts and scenes that were going to be the sort of seed for something bigger. And, you know, confidence has been an issue. You would never know it from how I just sit here and ramble about shit, right? But, you know, I had gotten to a point where I was starting to think, like, maybe I'm just not good at any of the shit I did or thought I was going to do. You know, I thought I was going to be able to do, like, writing was a lot for a long time, a big part of my life. It still is. I think I have all these ideas. I'm actually remiss for not taking better notes about some of these ideas and starting to just pull something together, even if it's just a short 10-page something, you know? But I've been reading stuff going like, man, you know, dude, stop judging yourself. Just enjoy the process. Stop having this sort of like, it needs to be perfect or it's not worth having done. Like, don't be that guy. Don't be that person who just sits around going like, well, I could have been awesome, but then I let every fucking reason to not think good things about myself take that spot. You know, maybe that's why I'm starting to feel, that's why I'm fighting this feeling of like the window is closing. Cause it's like, yeah, dude, yes. You know, the people who have done this that you admire had decades of being able to enjoy the life that it gave them. And I don't mean just the financial rewards. I mean more of like the ability to then keep doing creative stuff for a living. Your life's not over yet, but you really got to figure out getting there, or the rest of it's just going to be this, like, I coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know, like, and I don't want it to be that. And it's not that, I don't know if it's a legacy thing either. It's more just like, I don't know that I feel like I really fully tried. I know the whole sort of LA experiment didn't really go where I was hoping it would, but that doesn't mean that there isn't still a possibility for some of this to work. I mean, I don't want to have to wait to be George R. R. Martin age for them to make my Game of Thrones. So I don't know. But I do, I don't know. I'm sitting here laughing at it more than I was even just a couple days ago or even just yesterday. So that's got to count for something. And maybe if it took the eclipse passing by, then I'm grateful for that as well. And I'll have to add that to my gratitude journal for tomorrow. I'm grateful for the eclipse because it helped shift something for me. And it could happen to you too, right? That's the whole point of this. So thank you for listening to me ramble. It's been a little bit of an odd mode the last couple of recordings here. But it feels like the better path is like sort of literally like the next turn. It's like right around the next corner and I'm almost there. So yeah, we'll see as we get ever closer to the anniversary, and who knows if this podcast will go another year. I don't know if I see that happening. I don't know. It might have to shift a little bit in its sort of purpose. We'll see. Unfortunately, this week I'm not going to be getting a 15 minutes of movie memory madness out, although last week's about Cloverfield was a lot of fun. I think some of the animations came out pretty cool, so check that out if you haven't yet. And yeah, maybe I'll try to get two out next week to make up for the fact that this is the second week I'm missing, or it'll have to go to an every 2 week podcast. We'll see what happens. In any case, yeah, be well, enjoy the week, make progress on your journey, and thank you for being with me on mine. And we will talk again soon. So until next time. You've been listening to a production of the Hollow Nine Network. Feeling It, Healing It, A Diary of Recovery, featuring Dave Maresca. Thank you for listening to Feeling It, Healing It, A Diary of Recovery. Dave Maresca is not a trained medical professional, psychologist, psychiatrist, or licensed professional trained in providing therapeutic mental health care. This podcast is an account of his life experiences and meant to be just that. Any advice or suggestions made in the extemporaneous dialogue of the podcast is not intended to be medical or legal advice. If such advice is what you're seeking, you are encouraged to seek out the services of a licensed professional. The Hollow Nine Network and Dave Maresca assume no liability or responsibility for the information provided in these episodes.